So thank you for listening today, tuning in. We're going to bring you the message that God has put on my heart. Take your Bibles this morning. If you have a King James Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. I'm going to be in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30 and Numbers 16, 42. And we'll read down through Numbers 16, 47. So here in Ezekiel 22, 30, the Lord said, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap for me, stand in the gap for me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Then in Numbers 16, 42, it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, and the plague is begun." And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. My. I know it's a terrible time in our country. A plague has taken over the world, and a plague has plagued America. At the time of this message, over 2,000 have been infected with this plague. And everywhere you look in America, this plague has come. We don't know why it's here. I know that when Job was overcome with all the things that befell him, all Job's buddies thought they knew the reason why, but they were all wrong. Bildad, Eliphaz, and Timnath all were wrong in their assessment of why things were going on with Job. I don't know. I would think that regardless of the reason why, it should be a great call to Christ to a lost world. If God is sending judgment, it's certainly well deserved. We have murdered over 65 million babies, innocent blood crying out from the ground. God has reasons for what he does. I don't know why this has come upon us. Neither does anyone else. But let it be this morning a call to Christ. And this may very well be the final call, the last call before Christ gathers home his bride. It may be a plea to the lost sinner, but many will reject him. Many will snub their nose at God. They're not interested in God. They don't want to hear about God. They hate God. But he's making a final plea. If you're one of those that is on the fence and you're not sure about God, you need to come to Christ today. You've put yourself, if you're listening to this, you've put yourself under the preaching of the word. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you're here this morning and you're saved, you're watching this morning and you're saved, then somewhere along the way when you were dead in trespass and sin, you're saved today because someone made a decision at some time to stand in the gap and make up the hedge between your soul that was dead and trespass and sin. Someone stood in the gap between you and your precious soul going to hell to pay the penalty of sin. It may have been your mother, your daddy, your Sunday school teacher. It could have been a neighbor, a friend, or maybe even a perfect stranger. But somewhere, someone made the decision to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Someone told you about Jesus Christ and allowed you to escape the pits of hell and the penalty for your sin. If you don't have a burden for, if you're a Christian this morning, you've been saved by the grace and glory of God, you should have a burden for lost souls, because now you are called into service. You're called into service. The great call to a lost world this morning, as the plague has come. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus, the master soul winner, over in Matthew 28:19, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In Luke 19:10, the Lord said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. If we look to the example of Jesus Christ this morning, we find that Christ didn't always speak to the multitude. Jesus Christ many times had an individual burden for just one lost soul. In John chapter 4, we read of Christ dealing with a Samaritan woman at the well. In the Gospel of Matthew, I believe there's over 16 private interviews recorded. And in John's Gospel, 17 such cases where Jesus Christ dealt one-on-one with a lost sinner. I want to deal with you this morning, with your soul, with your sins, and I want you to learn that you can trust Jesus Christ, for God cannot lie. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it, or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? In Mark 8, we read of the value of just one lost soul. I recall the story of a missionary who spent his entire career in some country overseas, and how that in all those years he managed to lead just one soul to the Lord. He became so discouraged, and his wife encouraged him to give up and go back home, but that missionary just hung in there. And after all his discouragement and just leading one soul to Christ, when he got back home, he discovered years later that one soul that he had led to Jesus Christ went on to become one of England's greatest evangelists, leading thousands upon thousands to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to step up, church. You get into a relay race when that baton is handed off to that last runner. He's got to kick it up a couple notches. You know, the Lord is coming. He's coming soon. All the prophecies have been fulfilled. And we should say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And we need to kick it up a couple notches at the church. We see this great last call, perhaps, to the lost world to come to Christ. Let this terrible disease be a call to the lost world to get their heart right with God. Our Lord felt an urgency to deal with just one lost soul many times. It says in John 4:4 that he must needs go through Samaria. There was an urgency for him to win that woman's soul. A good example of this is in the story of the Good Samaritan. It says, when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to where he was. We need to reach out today to the lost sinner. Are we moved with compassion? Do we have any compassion? Do we have any burden for the lost this morning? When we're not in church, do we consider ourselves kind of off duty and let others do that? I remember years ago, I was a detective in Miami, Florida, and when I went on that police department, one of the officers asked our chief one day about a firearms policy, and he said, he was asking about carrying his firearm off duty. And the chief said, well, let me tell you this. Said, as a policeman, you're never off duty, so you better have your firearm with you. You're never off duty, Christian. You better have the Word of God with you. You better have a way to go and tell someone about Jesus Christ. You're duty bound as a Christian to win the gospel. The Bible says that we are witnesses for Jesus Christ. We're duty bound. We don't have to carry. We don't have to carry that Bible with us, but if the opportunity comes up, you need to have it either in your heart or in your hand. That precious Word of God, 1 Peter 3:15. The Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." When Christ spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well, he was tired. He was worn out. The scripture says, Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus at the well. Maybe we feel we're just too tired to win someone to Jesus Christ. Maybe we have some other excuse that we give God as to why we don't witness. The Great Commission is found 5 times in the New Testament. I remember reading a story years ago about a mayor from Emory, Alabama. I think his name was Sam Jackson. He told about the presidential campaign of Teddy Roosevelt coming to Emory, Alabama. It was a railroad town, from what I recall. And that train pulled in, and off stepped President Roosevelt on his presidential campaign. And he went to the platform, and as he got to the platform, the noon whistle blew, and the street became very busy with activity as all the factories and all the workplaces broke for lunch, and the streets became filled with people. And they said Teddy Roosevelt stood on that platform, and all the kids, all the children gathered around that platform, admiring his shiny buttons and the baggy breeches of the Rough Riders from Teddy Roosevelt. And while it was too noisy to speak, he spoke to that small group in front of him, and he pulled out a little New Testament from his pocket. And he said, you know, this Bible saved my life physically. He was shot in the bullet hit that Bible. He said it saved my life physically, but it also saved my life spiritually. And he began to quote from them. He said, in Acts 1:8, he said, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." He took time to witness the gospel. We need to redeem the time as Christians, and never has there been a time in our history when there's more of a need for the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Men have turned cold. Their hearts have become cold. The Bible says in the last days that men would be without natural affection. There's no natural affection one human being to another. We're able to murder innocent babies and just feel fine about it. No affection, no natural affection for the human being. In Mark 16:15, the Lord said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You know, there's probably 6 billion people in the world today. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand." Those 6 billion people need the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? Paul said it's how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. "Go ye therefore." So here back to our text with Moses. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get ye up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said to Aaron," he said, "Quick, take the censer and put the fire there and from off the altar and put on the incense," and says, "and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them." Oh, he knew that the plague was there. He said, "For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun." In Numbers 16:47, "And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed." Great call to Christ this morning. Won't you come? We make so many excuses. The church. Hey, if you're a born-again believer this morning, the call is also to you. If you're a carnal Christian that has strayed away from the things of God, strayed away from the assembling of yourselves together, strayed away from the Great Commission, won't you come back to God? Return to the God of your youth. Return to that first love. Return to those first works. But if you're here and you're lost this morning, you need Jesus Christ. Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." It's at the name of Jesus every head shall bow, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." What's your excuse this morning, Christian, for not reaching out to the lost, for not obeying the Great Commission? A fellow said, "Well, I haven't been saved that long, and I just don't know how to win anybody." Hey, you remember that Samaritan woman at the well? She had just met the Lord, just got saved. And it says in John 4:29, that she ran into town and said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then it says in John 4:39, and many Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Just got saved. Then the Bible goes on to say, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, and not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. We are a light unto the world. If you have Jesus Christ, you're the light of Christ. When Jesus healed the maniac of Gadara in Mark chapter 5, he said to him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. The Bible says, then in Mark 5:20, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, than all men did marvel. Some will make other excuses. Some say, well, I just don't have the gift of soul winning. Hey, as a Bible believer, I'll tell you this morning that soul winning is nowhere is soul winning listed among spiritual gifts. It's a call, a command from your Lord and Savior. Jesus said in John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. In Proverbs 11, verse 30, the Bible said the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So winning is a command, not a gift. Some say, well, I win souls through my local church. Psalms 126:6 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hey, you are the church. Every born-again, blood-bought child of God is a member of the body of Christ, which is the church. The scripture says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You don't see too many tear-stained altars anymore. You don't see too many churches where the Christians are agonizing over the lost. I heard a preacher say one time that he'd trade four organizers for just one agonizer. We need folks agonizing for the lost. Their lost family members, their lost neighbors, the lost world. Daniel 12:3, the Bible says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Some say, well, I'm waiting to be led by the Holy Spirit. You may be waiting a long time because if that's your attitude, you've already tuned out that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. When I was a boy, I grew up on a farm not far from where this church is, and I had to milk a cow before school every morning. I had to go milk a cow. And I can just imagine me coming up one morning and say, Dad, I was going to milk this morning, but I just didn't quite feel led. I know what that would have gotten me. It wasn't, you don't get a leading to lead souls to Christ. You have a commission from the great commander, the Lord, the captain of the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ, to seek the lost. Do the work of an evangelist, the Bible says. Some say, well, I'm afraid I'll drive them away. Hey, listen, sinners are dead and trespass and sin. There's no dead, there's no debtor, and no debtors. You can't make a man any debtor by witnessing the gospel to him. Everyone is either saved or lost, justified or guilty, condemned or not condemned, dead or alive, hath everlasting life or the wrath of God abiding on him. Oh, I'm afraid I might drive him away. We hear a lot today about discipleship. There's no disciples without decisions. Our Lord said that one lost sheep is of a far more importance to the shepherd than the 99 that represent saved people. To Jesus, the lost sheep came first. Some are called to sow, others to reap. 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul said, I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every Christian, everyone in the sound of this message should have a burden for lost souls. You know, the last invitation in the Bible is found in Revelation 22:17. And it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That invitation is to you this morning. Come unto the Lord, said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. My burden is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. A call to Christ this morning. Jesus told that Samaritan woman at the well, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Isaiah 55:1, the prophet wrote, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye which is good, that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. It says, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The prophet Isaiah said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It's a call to Christ this morning. If you're here tonight and you're fearing this great plague that has come upon the world, the Bible says to fear not him which is able to destroy the body, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. You need to come to Christ. Paul said, I fear lest any corrupt you from the simplicity that is in Christ. I didn't say come to religion. Religion can't save you. I didn't say come to the commandments. Commandments can't save you because nobody can keep them. By the commandments came the knowledge of sin, and it revealed to mankind that we are all sinners. We all need a Savior. Won't you come? And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever heareth, let him come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. A great call to Christ this morning. That's our message, a gospel message that Jesus saves. I've heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The disciples, one day they asked the Lord, they said, what must we do that we might work the works of God? That's found in John 6:28. I love that passage. What should we do that we might work the works of God? That's an important question every man, woman, and child needs to ask themselves. And Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. One place it says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You look up that little preposition in, and in means by way of or through. Believe in Jesus Christ. Your salvation has to be through Jesus Christ, by way of Jesus Christ. There's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Another place the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That word on means to rest for support. That preposition, to rest for support. So our hope, our resting is in Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary's cross. Don't be deceived this morning. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If God is sending judgment, he's got plenty of reason to do that. We've lived wickedly in this world. We've denied the God of glory. We've flaunted the God of glory. We've mocked the God of glory. We booted him out of the schools, booted him out of the public forum, got rid of his commandments. And now all of a sudden the plague has come. And now what are we going to do? You do what you should have done in the first place, as turn from your sin, repent, and believe the gospel. That's our call to Christ this morning. Repent. Stop trusting in anything and everything. The plague has begun. Moses told him, go take the censer and put coals therein and go stand between the dead and the living. Christians, we need to rise up this morning in a call to Christ to a lost world and stand between the dead and the living. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning thankful for your tender love and mercy. Lord, we don't know why this has come to America, to the world, Lord. But we pray, Lord, for your church. You'd put a hedge about us, Lord, and give us opportunity and give us the burden to send the gospel call. There's a call comes ringing over the restless wave. We need to invite folks to your loving arms this morning, Lord. And we thank you for your love. We thank you for your protection. Most of all, we thank you for that shed blood on Calvary's cross. All this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.